I'm starting out with a little story. I was talking with Bob earlier in the week, last week actually, because this is the first day of the week, isn't it? And this story kind of helped. This is for my benefit, it's not for your benefit. I used to work, work construction for earning a living. I'm mostly retired now and still do a few things here and there, but mostly residential remodeling. And so I would go over to people's houses and do this, that, whatever. And this one time, this was before GPS on your smartphone, at least before I had a smartphone. And the lady was giving me instructions, and I'm writing it down, and she's saying, you know, turn right here, take this road, turn right here, and then turn left there. And as I'm writing things down, now you're going to come to a Shell station. And I'm writing down Shell station. And she said, keep going past the Shell station. And I'm like, okay. Why did she tell me that? It's just, I guess it's nice to know where you're going to be going along the way, but I was more focused on the turns and the direction change and not passing a random gas station along the way. So the beginning of this message, I'm going to let you know where we're going because I've been told that sometimes my main point gets kind of garbled up in all the other stuff, and so I'm going to start out and give you a roadmap, so to speak. I'm going to write down directions for you and so that you can help follow along better, just in case I muddle things along the way, which may happen, may not, we'll see. Anyway, I want to start out reading Matthew chapter 20, 26, 28, and I'm just being real concise here. It says, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So the focus of this message is, Jesus came to serve, and those who follow him serve. Jesus came to serve, and if we're following after Jesus, well, we're going to serve also. All of us are called to be servants. And to follow the example that Jesus gave us. And what I want for you is to be great in God's eyes. Most of us won't be great in the world. We're just living our average, ordinary life, and most people don't care anything about us because we're not celebrities. And most of us aren't going to have lots of money. We try to get along and pay our bills. And in the U.S., we're very blessed because compared to most of the people in the world, we're really wealthy, incredibly so, really incredibly blessed. But we're just living ordinary, average lives. But Jesus said, if you want to be great, you must be a servant. And in God's eyes, each of us can be great. Each of us, no exclusions. And that's what I want for each of us, all of us to walk in that greatness that God has for us. So along the way, we're going to be looking at relationship. Jesus said, follow me. He invites us into relationship. And all godly, all serving comes out of relationship. And if we separate the serving from the relationship, we mess things up. Then we'll look at how God leads us. Another way of saying that is, how do we follow a Jesus we can't see? Back 2,000 years ago, it's like, oh, there's Jesus, I'm gonna follow him. It's like, okay, there's Dave. I know what Dave looks like, I'm gonna hang out with Dave, and we're gonna, wherever Dave goes, that's where I'm going. And it was kind of simple. But it's a little different now. Because Jesus is not here in the flesh, but he's made a provision for that. Finally, I want to talk about each of us in the body of Christ doing our part. Because we each have different parts to play and different roles to play. Most of you, much to your relief, will never have to get up in front of a group of people and give a message. But you have other things to do that are just as important in God's eyes. A lot of people think, oh, they're up there teaching and preaching and singing and leading, and those are the important people. When I was here this morning, there were a number of people here and more people coming in starting at 8 o'clock when I came in with Tim Zanin. And they're all serving. They're all doing things to make this time possible. Your bulletins, the handout, they had to figure out how to do this even though we didn't format it exactly right. And they figured it out, and so you have a handout, and you can take that home, and there's scriptures on there that I'm not going to read that you might want to look at later. There are people that, after we leave here, some of us, you know, we don't pick up after ourselves everything, and they'll clean up after us, so that when we come back the next week, it looks all nice. And those are people that are giving of themselves, giving of their time, and they're serving. So, let's start with follow me. Matthew 4, chapter 4. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. I have everything I'm going to write down, and look what I think everything I'm going to read might be up there. I'm almost positive, but not 100%. As Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. So this invitation from Jesus back 2,000 roughly years ago to these two brothers, Peter and Andrew, is extended to us right now today. Jesus says to each of us, and to every person you're going to see the rest of the day, and the rest of the week, and the rest of your life, Jesus says to them, even though maybe they haven't heard the invitation, and maybe part of what your part is to extend the invitation, is follow me. Jesus says to each of us, follow me. We're invited to be in this relationship with Jesus, the creator of the universe. It's a pretty simple thing. He leads, we follow. Now, a lot of us from time to time, or maybe I should say some of us, I don't want to include too many people out there that this doesn't include, but we sometimes think that even though, you know, God created the universe and he knows everything from beginning of time to the end of time, that, yeah, but God, in this situation, I think I know better than you do. And, you know, God, yeah, you're saying maybe I should do that, but I don't know about that, and I think my way's better. If you think of it a little bit, about that much, you realize, you know, that's kind of a stupid, arrogant position to hold. If you had a genius for a friend and you have an IQ of, I don't know, 65, that's maybe being generous comparing us to God. You might want to, you know, if that friend gives you some advice, say, yeah, that's probably good advice for me to take. And so when God leads us and directs us, he's going to be giving us good advice. And this is a good God. Jesus said, when somebody called him good teacher, he said, don't you know there's only one good? So Jesus is talking in an absolute sense that God is good, meaning there is no bad in there. It's not like, wow, I had this really good ice cream cone. except for the calories in it. You know, that wasn't so good. But otherwise, this was a really good ice cream cone. Or whatever example you want to have in there. God, there is no bad. It's all good. So when we follow God and go as he directs us to do, he is leading us into good. Good for us. What is best for us. This is also a relationship where he's the master and we're the apprentice. So he will train us in what he wants us to do. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, Jesus went out, and I'm abbreviating this. You can look it up. That's why I wrote the scripture down. Jesus went out teaching and preaching and healing. And Jesus did that a lot. If you read the Gospels, that's pretty much what he was about. And then later in chapter 10, Jesus sent the 12 out, his 12 disciples. And what did he send them out to do? It's in verses 7 and 8. Pretty much the same thing he did. He had little differences here and there, but it's pretty much the same thing. Now, you probably won't be called to do what the 12 were called to do. But you might. And some of you definitely will be. But if you're not called to do that, you're called to do something else. It's important to note that we're not called to follow Jesus by ourselves. It's not just me and Jesus. There's others around for the journey. Ephesians 4:16 says, from him, that is from Christ, from Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Let me rephrase that in my own words. As each of us who are part of the body of Christ interact with the other parts of the body of Christ, it's that interaction as I'm doing my part and they're doing their part that causes us to grow in the Lord and causes the body of Christ to grow numerically. And so it's each of us working together that causes this growth. Now, what happens if some of the parts aren't doing their part? And I think I'm jumping ahead here. Whether we're going to have a deficiency, we're going to be missing something. We might not even know what it is. My wife is a really good cook, and she can taste something. She'll put together this sauce, whatever, and she'll taste something, and it's like it's missing something. Well, my taste buds are good enough to know what it's missing. Her taste buds are good enough to know it needs this. And then she puts that in there, and usually, okay, that's much better. And then maybe she'll like, you know, it'd be better even yet if we had this other element here too. I'm just like, it's missing something. I don't know what it is. And so I, you know, usually I just put some tapatio sauce on it. It'll be okay. The older I get, the more I realize that I can't do this without the help of others. I need other people in my life that I'm getting together with on a regular, semi-regular basis and just hanging out and living life together. And if I'm having a great week and they're having a terrible week, I just listen to them, you know, tell about their terrible week or about their great week. It doesn't matter. We're just living life together. And we'll pray for one another. Sometimes one of us will get a, you know, here's something, you know, I was just reading the other day from the Bible, or here's a word from the Lord. I just feel that you need to hear this. And I can't make it without that. I need other people in my life to just get through life. Part two. How do I follow a Jesus I can't see? This is the stumbling block for a lot of people. Peter might have said the same thing. Last week, Bob talked about Jesus saying to Peter, follow me. And Peter, you know, this is what's going to happen at the end of your life. you're going to be led into somebody executing you. You're not going to want to go there, but this is the path I have for you. And Jesus, in those 3 years up to that time, he would decide, you know, that's not what I would choose for the end of my life. That's not how I would choose to end it. But I know, because I've been with Jesus for the last 3 years, that it's going to be okay. It's going to be worth it. I'm going to choose that path, just as Jesus chose the cross. But he could have said, or at least maybe he didn't know exactly, but in another 3 weeks, and I know Jesus knew this, about another 3 weeks, Jesus wasn't going to be there anymore. He was going to be taken up to heaven. So Peter could say, well, you know, if you're leaving, how am I going to follow you? That lets me off the hook. I'll go back to fishing. But Jesus said, wait for the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, which I'll give you. And so God had given us the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit in us who instructs us and teaches us and tells us what to do, and just leads us along the way. So the primary way of following Jesus is by following the leading of the Holy Spirit, who is within us, each one of us. Now, we can run into problems when we do that, because we get this thought and we think, this is God. And so we need to cross-check that with this. And we need to say, okay, I sense that God is telling me to do this. Is that consistent with what the scriptures say? Because I know the scriptures, these have been proven, if you will, and the leading you get in your gut, and it's just like this, a gut feeling sometimes. It's just this, people have called a still small voice. That can be right, and it can be wrong. And so we want to always say, okay, is this consistent with the scriptures? I've had people say, you know, I have a real peace living with my boyfriend. Well, I know the scriptures well enough to know that's not God that's giving you that peace. So you can't just, you know, rote follow after peace because I feel good about this. If it's not consistent with the scriptures, you're off. The other way that God can lead us is by the desires of our heart. Psalms 37, 4 and 5 talks about that. Delighting ourselves in the Lord, and he will give us the desires of our heart. Now, the key here is delighting in him. Because if we're not delighting in him, we're just doing our own thing. And your heart, if it's not submitted to the Lord, is going to lead you astray every single time. Out in the world, people say, follow your heart, you know, do what your heart is telling you to do. And these are people who don't know God. And so they're doing all kinds of stupid, destructive things because that's what their heart told them to do. But if you really are delighting in the Lord and you're wanting what God's wanting and you've submitted to yourself to the Lord, then God will just put this, I just feel like, I want to minister in Africa. Like, we have a couple family who are there right now ministering and seeing whether that's going to be a full-time thing for them. And that's really exciting. Really exciting. When you have people who have been just kind of in almost a holding process, doing a little bit here and there, but not really. They're kind of, oh, God, this is my burning desire to do this. Now, we can look at that. Is it consistent with scriptures? Yes, it is. Is this family or is this couple, are they having a desire for the Lord? I know them personally, and I would say, yes, they do. And the other part here is, if you're not sure about something, and even if you are sure about something, it doesn't hurt, ask someone else. Go up to them, ask somebody you know. Maybe you don't even have to know them that well. Hopefully someone who knows the Bible better than you do. maybe who's walked with the Lord longer than you have, or at least had a more committed walk with the Lord, and say, does this sound like God? This is what I'm getting. Does this sound like God? Is this consistent with the Scriptures? What do you think? Just get some input. And you can talk with multiple people. Now, there's not a guarantee there. This is a walk by faith. And sometimes even, you know, somewhat mature people can miss it. We don't know for sure. I've had things I've done in my life, and I was like, I know this is God, and afterwards I was like, eh, I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure that was God. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. Other times it's like, I'm not so sure, but, you know, I'm just going to go with this anyway. And it turned out like, wow. Of course, it's possible you might do something exactly what God wants you to be doing, and it doesn't turn out like, wow. Not in a good sense. It's like, wow. That, oh, my. But sometimes the path that God leads us on is a difficult path because he's got people to reach. He wants to love on people that are not necessarily the most lovable, don't necessarily want to receive the love that you have for them. So there's a risk in this. But as we're following Jesus, we know that Jesus came to serve. So how is he going to lead us? So right now, I want to invite Jill up because she has something special. Boy, what musical was that that I couldn't pronounce that word? way before most of your time. Thank you, Jill.
Good morning, everybody. On November 18th, the campfire burned 150,000 acres in Paradise, California. That's equivalent to 234 square miles. 17,000 people lost their homes. About a month and a half ago, I spoke to Margaret Bishop, and I had told her I would love to serve with her if something came up. She's been serving with Samaritan's Purse, and she had invited Melissa and myself and my daughter Sydney to go up and serve with her. Samaritan's Purse is a disaster relief organization. It's international, and it provides spiritual, physical, and physical aid to really hurting people. So we drove up, a 10-hour drive up there. That's all it takes is you getting there. They provide everything. They provide a couple shirts for you, a hat, whatever it takes to do the job. They provided Tyvek suits for us to work during the day, as well as masks to keep us safe from the carcinogens that are out there from the fire. So each day we would show up to someone's house that had burnt to sift through their ashes and hopefully find something that meant something to them that would bring them closure. But really, that's not really why we were there. We were there to love on them, to pray with them, and to hug on them. That was the real reason Jesus had us there. The whole focus of digging through the rubble and all that stuff is just the precursor of what Jesus really wants you to do. So I'm going to start with a sad story because I want to end on a really happy note. There was a lady that we met whose house burnt. She had a two-story home. There's 16 of us. We arrive at her home, and it's burnt to the ground, and there's just stuff everywhere. And we were all really overwhelmed on where to start because she couldn't even articulate to us where we should begin, where things were. She didn't even know where her kitchen was. And so we all started inside the area of her home, and we started digging for things and started pulling things up, and it just seemed really helpless. And it seemed helpless to us because it was really helpless to her. Once in a while, she would grab my arm and say, you know what, you should just leave. There's no hope here. You should just leave. You shouldn't have come. And she even told me that she had wished that she died in the fire. and we knew it became clear that she didn't have a relationship with Jesus, and it really was heartbreaking. We ended up leaving her that day. She didn't receive salvation, and we prayed with her. I got down in the ash and just dug wherever she was digging, and I cried with her and listened to her stories. And in the end, you know how your mind works? It's like, wow, I don't think I even planted a seed. Lord, she doesn't know you. And he reminded all of us at the end of the day, it's not really about, this is not about you. My story is not done. This isn't the end. We're all seed planters in this, and he's a great harvester. That day was really super dark, and it stuck with all of us. Thankfully, at the end of the day, Samaritan's Purse has a night where everyone gets to share, and it's called God Time. And so you get to listen to other really inspiring stories from other people that serve that day. And it's really uplifting, and it's really like therapy for you if you had a rough day. But then we ran into this little couple. They were like 80-something-year-old newlyweds. And they lived in a little retirement community. Their house had burnt down. And we were looking for a wedding ring that belonged to her ex-husband that she wanted to give to her son. And we ended up finding it. And they were like, praise God. Oh, my gosh, we're so glad that you guys are here. And we can't believe all that God has done through this. And she shared a story of the day that the fire started. And she was by herself, separated from her husband in a different car. And she was going down the street. And a 20-year-old lady jumped in the car and she said, Lord, did you send me an angel? Did you just send me an angel? Someone who's going to help me get through this? And she starts talking to this lady and she finds out, the lady is there. I'm here to help you. My husband's back there, but I just want to try to help you get through this. And the lady said, well, do you know Jesus? Lady, her name is Elaine. She's so cute, I wanted to bring her home with me. But she said, do you know Jesus? And this girl said, no. And she said, well, if you don't know Jesus, now there's trees falling and, you know, embers going across the street and all this. And she's like, if you don't know Jesus, you better get to know him right now. And she actually prayed her into salvation. And then they lost touch. And then her daughter found her on Facebook, and they've since reconnected, and she's mentoring her. These are really beautiful stories. When disaster strikes, it takes a really long time to repair the damages in the hearts and minds of the people, their homes. Those things, there's still a lot of prayer that needs to be had and hands that need to get on the ground and help. So in going forward, let's serve together. It doesn't matter how we do it. Let's figure out a way to serve together. Thank you.
Thank you, Jill. Wow. I'm sorry, I got to compose myself. When I hear a story like that, it touches me because I know God's love is so great. And he will have these four beautiful ladies drive up there and spend a week so that these people that have had devastation enter their life can know the love of God. Maybe for the first time, maybe just on top of, because they already have relationship, just an encouragement to them that God's in this, and in spite of the tragedy they went through, that he's there and he's helping them. So part three is doing our part. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 12. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it, a part of it. So we're all different parts in God's body. And we all have different parts, different roles to play. And so some of those parts might be helping out here, you know, in this building, doing things here. Some of those parts might be calling people on the phone. That God just puts somebody on your heart. And it's like, I need to call so-and-so. And you're not sure why, but you call them and it's like, you know, I really needed this call. You wouldn't believe what this day has held. Reminds me of way back when I was in college. And I had this one sister on my heart. And I was supposed to give her a call. You couldn't text back then. We didn't have these cute little digital devices. And I don't know, calling sometimes on the phone is difficult for me. And so 2 weeks later, I talked with them, and I said, you know, 2 weeks ago, I felt like I was supposed to call you, and she said, I've had the worst 2 weeks you can imagine. I was like, yay, I guess I missed it. Because God didn't want her to have a bad week or two bad weeks. And I could have done that a little bit just to encourage her and change things. But that time I didn't. And that's true for all of us. Some of you have families that you're ministering to, neighbors that you're ministering to, people that you work with that you're ministering to, that you're serving. And so we need to be doing those things that God brings to mind and just do them. And it may seem like, well, this is just a small nothing thing and it really doesn't matter. Who cares about whether I make a phone call to someone or not, or send a text message or not, or visit with somebody or not? Well, it matters to them and it matters to God. So even little small things can be really important sometimes. I'm older than most of you in here. There's one or two that are exceeded me in age. But I remember way back in 1967 and the Indianapolis 500 car race. And now it's like, who cares? But back then it was like the Super Bowl. It was a big deal. And Memorial Day weekend, and you had the Indy 500, and people would have barbecues in their backyard and picnics, and you'd have the Indy 500 on the radio, because I don't know if they even showed it on TV back then. I know earlier they didn't. Maybe at that time they had. Some of you will go on a computer and find this out. And so I'm giving myself some grace here. And this one particular year, they had this car that had never been in the Indy 500 before, and it was driven by Parnelli Jones, and it was powered by a turbine engine. Now, those are the same engines that they have in helicopters, that they use in helicopters nowadays, and they will use them for, well, the M1A1 tank has a turbine engine in it. And planes use turbine engines. They haven't worked so well in cars, but they were going to use it for this race. And the car cost $600,000 to build back then. The engine was $100,000. And because of the how this car was, it ended up being sixth place in the start. So it started from sixth place. Well, by the end of the second, not lap, but corner, it was in first place. Because the setup they used for it for finding out where you're going to start, and I forget what they call that. People that are into race cars could probably know that, but I don't see Glenn. Qualifying time. There we go. Thank you. And so qualified six. And most of the other drivers are saying, they're sandbagging it. This is going to blow us away. It's going to, you know, be a, you know, anyway. By the end of the second turn, they were leading the race. And this car led most of the way. And they had some, you know, red flags, yellow flags, that kind of thing. And at one point, they were leading by 50 seconds, which is a lot. Anyway, so you're watching this race or listening to this race. I think I probably was watching it. Anyway, it was. I remember we're almost down. We're almost done with the race. It's like, this is a done deal. And three laps to go, here's this car on the back stretch coasting to a stop. And what happened is there was a $6 bearing that went out. We had a $600,000 car, and a $6 bearing decided, I'm not going to do any, I'm done. I've had enough. I'm done for the day. And the whole car came to a stop. That was it. What I don't want is to have some $6 bearings in here that are thinking like, my part's not important. In the big scheme of things, I don't really matter. Because you do. You're important. Every one of us is important. It may be seemingly to us a such an insignificant little thing, but it's critical. Ephesians 2:10 says that we were created to do good works that have already been planned for us. There we go. Think of it. There are acts of service waiting in our future, maybe 10 minutes from now, maybe 20 minutes, half an hour. We got worship here. I don't know how much, you know, God's going to end. Anyway, I don't know. Acts of service in our future waiting for us to do. That God knows, okay, I'm going to set up this appointment with this person and that person. And this is going to, maybe a 5-minute conversation that's going to change this other person's life. We don't know, but God does. And he will lead us in these things. And these, the roles that we play, the parts that we play, the things that God wants us to do are not beyond us. They're actually custom made for us. You're just as smart as you need to be to fulfill all that God has called you to do. You're just as tall. You're just as strong. You're just as good looking and with just as much hair as you need to do all that God has called you to do. Worship team, can you come up here, please? Jesus came to serve. Those who follow him will serve. Open your heart anew to what God has for you today and for tomorrow and for the rest of your life. Open your eyes to see opportunities. Ask God and say, God, let me see what you want me to be about. Let me see what you want me to be doing. Draw my attention to things. And so when God draws my attention, I don't go like, I think you should be doing that because I see a need here. It's like, no, God shows us the need that he wants us fulfilling. So look around and ask him to show you what you're to be about. And then say, yes, Lord. Just as Mary did. Let your will be done through me. Amen.